Good morning, everybody. We're going to start off this morning with an old hymn, good up-tempo beat. Wyman, I know you'll know this song, and LG. It's some of us, some of the young folks out there, I hadn't heard a lot of these songs we've been trying to do lately. So we've been trying to do one every Sunday to hear these old songs. This one here is Victory in Jesus. Let's all stand.
That one's good. Yeah, I remember when I first got saved and I joined a church, and it was a Baptist church up in Lincoln Park, Michigan. And that's not the first song I learned, but it was one of the first. And I remember we'd go to men's retreats, and there'd be a whole bunch of men packed down in some dirty old basement of some snow-covered place up in Michigan, and we'd all be singing Victory in Jesus, and it was good to sing unto the Lord and be there. Welcome to Christ Community Church. If you're a friend, guest, visitor, whatever, we're glad that you're here. You have not arrived at a perfect church, but we have a perfect Savior. And we have found that we can be, through Him, perfectly saved, and that makes us perfectly happy and maybe a little bit loony, okay? But I'm going to tell you something, it's good because God is good. And if you're here, we're here to celebrate His goodness. I feel so good today. I've already told people, I feel so good, I'm probably going to get in trouble. Because if you get feeling too good, you get in trouble. You say something you're not supposed to say just because you're feeling so good. And so anyways, that might be me. So just get your forgiveness ready in case I do that today, all right? But I'm so glad that you're here. I'm looking at Miss Bonnie, and I'm so glad that you're here. I know it. I'm so glad you're here and that you're feeling better. I am standing in front of a quilt that I have not yet taken out of here because it has so blessed me that Miss Bonnie put together. And anyways, I love it. And I just love being here with y'all. You still can't clap. In the Dominican Republic, they don't have instruments, but everybody clapped. And it was so good. We just clapped, clapped, clapped. And we sang in Spanish, which meant I don't know what we were singing. But it was so good. But I come back here and I said, man, we still can't clap for anything, but it's so good to be here. It's so good to be here. We're going to keep on praising. Let me pray for us. Lord, be with us. Thank you for saving us. We lift up Jesus. And as we do, help us to drop everything else. Because you're awesome. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are my soul.
why Jesus give his life like he did. You know, the first song we did talking about mansions in heaven. Jesus says he's gone to heaven to create mansions for you and me. But the only way to get there is through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But to leave all of that, streets of gold, big mansions, he did that out of his unfailing love for us. That's what this song here is about. You gave your life away.
So far from heaven's throne, clothed in
That song reminded me of the first hymn that I really learned after I became a Christian. There's something about that name. If you know it, sing it with me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Wow. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We got our youngins with us. They sat through the worship service with us, but we're going to have them to break now. You ready, Mr. Bill? All right, you ready to walk? Ready, break. Here goes the Exodus. There you go. We're moving. We're shaking. We're walking. We're doing good. One of the things on my trip to, we were trying to get to Haiti, as you know, last week, a week before, and we weren't able to get there. We had to. We stayed in the Dominican. One of the things on that trip that kind of influenced me wasn't so much what happened, but it was what was not happening. For a week, from Monday to Friday, I didn't get any hypocritical, crazy, nutso, political spin junk that we get from our media constantly here. So I had a reprieve. If you haven't had a reprieve and you can't leave the country, I suggest unplugging from the media system for a minute. Believe me, even if you don't know what's going on so that you can complain about it, it will still go on and you can complain about it later. One of the great blessings then was to be apart from what's going on in our country. And when I got back in and turned on my radio, and I don't always listen to music, I listen to news radio, talk radio sometimes, and preaching and things, and this different things, and then I looked through Facebook, because I didn't do Facebook all week, and I started catching up this past week, started catching up on what was going on. I realized I missed some scandals, and I missed some things, you know, so I had to kind of plunge back in to the deep end of things. Something about that song we just sang made me so grateful that kings and kingdoms, they'll all pass away. But I'm going to tell you, my hope is not in kings or kingdoms or presidents or senators or Supreme Courts or in constitutions. My hope, and the hope that's offered in the gospel, ain't got nothing to do with the borders, whether we have them or don't have them, whether they're walled or not walled. The hope that we have in the gospel has nothing to do with whether somebody had locker room talk and whether somebody did something crazy or whether somebody defended their husband who did something crazy a couple decades ago. It ain't got nothing to do with any of that stuff. The hope that's in the gospel is a sure, living, and eternal hope that will outlast, outpace anything any party on earth will grab a hold of. And it made me glad when I came here today to preach the eternal, everlasting, good news gospel of Jesus Christ, that I wasn't standing on some kind of platform that's going to be cool now, good today, but something I'll have to apologize for in a decade or so. It's unchangeable because God's unchangeable. It's immutable. It's eternal. It's awesome. And I get to be the proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is always the same. And I'm going to tell you, more and more, as I look at our situation politically, it makes me so glad to say, I trust in Jesus Christ, the unfailing God. All my eggs in one basket. You might say, oh, that's not safe. Well, go ahead. Look at all those other baskets out there. All my hope for myself, for my kids, for potential grandchildren. I'm not going to talk about them like I did last week. Potential grandchildren, great-grandchildren. However long the Lord seems to tarry and however big my family may get, but my financial, my family, my spiritual, my vocational, every hope that I have is in one basket that we can label the gospel of Jesus Christ. And though I may be called a deplorable for being in that basket too, I don't much care. And I'm going to tell you something. The most trustworthy person in the world, he's not running, y'all. He's already there, okay? It's just a matter of time as his kingdom, which now is, becomes the kingdom that we see and we live in and we move in from day to day. But it's coming. With that in mind, I thought, again, and I know I've done this before, but acting as kind of a press secretary, political spokesman for someone who I think we ought to speak up on a lot more of, as if he were running, though he's not, like I said, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no democracy there in the kingdom. It's a theocracy. I've decided to come out clearly on the party of theocracy. God rule. Not democracy, people rule, voter rule. Because frankly, we're crazy. And the more and more we get our preferences and our orientations involved, the crazier and crazier we get. So I'm looking for God, His standard. There ain't no deleted information. It's all right here. We ain't going to get anything later that says, oh my goodness, did you believe the locker room talk of Jesus Christ? It ain't going to be there, y'all. He's solid. He is solid as can be. And that's who today I'm here promoting. And I think, though we ought to vote, and who you vote for, especially in that big, ugly election that's getting uglier and uglier and uglier, you ought to vote. And whoever you vote for, you ought to follow your conscience in voting. I'm okay with that, whoever that happens to be. I would recommend you look at the party platforms, see what the actual parties stand for. Neither one of them are perfect. They're both kind of, they got their ugly, shady spots. But I just encourage you to do that. I encourage you to vote. But I encourage you to put your hope in Jesus Christ. Listen, church, we are the press secretary for Jesus Christ. We are the promoters. We are the messenger that has been sent before to make straight the way of the Lord before His coming, because He is coming back. This is part of our job. We ought to be unashamed of it. Unapologetic. This is where our life should be lived. November 8th, you'll vote. But even that day, carry the gospel in your heart. Be ready to tell people about your real hope, about your real Lord, about your real King. With that in mind, I decided we're going to go, and I was praying through some passages in the Gospel of Mark, and I felt like God impressed on me, just preach the Gospel of Mark. You'll be glad to know I'm not going to do that all today. We're going to start at chapter 1. We're going to go through the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to spend some time, not today, not all at one time, but we're going to spend some time in the Gospel of Mark, just getting reacquainted with the Jesus we sang about just now. Just getting reacquainted with who He is and what He does and what He's like. I'm going to tell you, the more you know about Jesus, the more excited you'll be to promote His platform. The more excited you'll be to tell people about Him. the more unashamed you'll be and say, man, I'm not tied into this system or that system. You know, I don't see hardly any political signs as opposed to what I usually see. You think back to some of these presidential elections. I remember seeing big old signs everywhere for this one and that one. I don't see hardly any. And you know why? I think people are ashamed of the names on the posters. But church, can I tell you, we don't have to be ashamed of the one we stand behind and we stand with, when that one is Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, this is what they say. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. Indeed, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together, to sing your praise, to lift up the name that at one point every knee will bow and every tongue will confess your name, Jesus, to the glory of God. Oh, Father, help us to be those who are preparing that way, those who are employed by you. We love you, Lord. Help us in every way to find our hope and satisfaction in you. Show us your goodness. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to walk through this as if you've come to a political rally. I know you did not. I'm not going to get ugly and political. I'm just going to tell you about who it is I support. And what I want to do is start with the platform. A platform means a basis of ideas and values upon which a candidate runs. You know, so you can say, what do you believe in? That's their platform. Okay? And let me tell you the platform for Jesus Christ. It comes in a one-word package. It's called gospel. The gospel is the platform that Jesus Christ runs on. And I want to challenge you. You look at that. The gospel means good news. You see if any of these other parties are a good news party. You just, again, look at them. Look at those platforms and see if they offer something good for you. Eternally good, morally good, spiritually good, mentally, emotionally good, relationally good. You see if the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't whoop every platform strength to strength. The gospel means good news, but it also is a way of talking about the specific events in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that God the Father designed from the very beginning. When we think about the gospel, we can actually think about it in these terms. His perfect sinless life, his death for sinners on the cross, his burial, his resurrection the third day, his ascension into heaven, the day of Pentecost and the sending out of the Holy Spirit, and his coming return. I say soon return. But I always say that because I've read Revelation chapter 1, and it reminds us when these things happen, they're going to happen quickly, they're going to happen shortly, and it says the time is near. Now, I know that the time is much nearer for his return than when it was written. It just makes me think it must be near, okay? But that's when we think of the gospel, we think about what God did by sending his son to do the things he did, like die on the cross, buried, rose from the dead. What does that do for you and me? It says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Why is that good news? That's good news because you and I, we didn't get here on our own. We were created by God. We are created in the image of God. We are created for the purpose and pleasure of God. And God says, look, we are doing really good. But y'all had this whole issue of not listening to me and doing what I said. And it made a separation between you and I. But I know how to make it right. I'm making it right by my Son who is holy and who always, always listens to me. He's perfect in His obedience. Therefore, He's a perfect sacrifice to take your sins on Himself. And when He does that, it's as if you haven't sinned. It's like you're free from it. One of the words He uses here is that you're in remission, for the remission of sin. And that word remission is not really the best way to define that word. The best way to define that word is freedom. A freedom from sin. No longer bound, no longer enslaved, no longer wrapped up in it. He offers us that and so much more, because He also offers us this living relationship with Him. Because Jesus Christ is alive. And let me tell you something. Don't you ever argue with somebody about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not somewhere you can go logically. It's not somewhere you can go intellectually. It's somewhere you have to go spiritually by faith. If God's granted you that, praise Him. If you believe it, you've got to know that even your faith is part of the fingerprints of God on your heart giving you that faith, because dead people don't rise. You all know that, right? But in this case, they did. This case, He did. And when He did, He was declared with power to be the Son of God. And because He's alive, God doesn't look at us like we're the ones who caused the death of His Son. God looks at us as children, sons and daughters, brothers with His Son, Jesus Christ. We're all a part of the family now. That is good news. That's some of the best news. You know, if you really get a hold of this good news thing, you got to try hard to be sourpuss. You got to try hard to be a frowny, down, everything's just worthless, pessimistic soul. Because God, through His good news, has given us something to be happy about forever. And I'm going to tell you something, church. If we start losing our happy, if we start losing our joy, I believe it's because we've started looking at the world and we've stopped looking at our Savior who brought us good news. Too many churches line up like funerals where they done lost their, you know, somebody just whom they love so much. And they gather together and they play the same old stuff, looking the same old way. And I'm going to tell you something. It betrays something. And it would about us too if that ever happens here. If we gather up and we're the same old few faithful who gathered up to memorialize that Jesus fella, and we just don't have any joy or no expressible joy, we need to stop. We need to pray. We need to repent and say, Lord, would You help us? Would You help us to be happy in Jesus again? There is a way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. His gospel made that possible for us. Nobody else can make you right with God. No political party. No amount of tithing. George Soros can't be right with God if he tithed all his money. Of course, he wouldn't be a tithe if he gave it all. If he just gave it all, he couldn't make himself right with God. He's got billions of dollars. He might could be a member of this church in right standing if he get. Anyway, but that's a little different. Point being, you don't get there by money. We don't get there by acting right. We get there because God can bring us there because He's an awesome God. That's the good news. That's the platform. Now, let me tell you about my candidate. Let me tell you about the person. Okay? Because verse 1 says, this is the beginning of the gospel. The gospel is the platform. The person is Jesus Christ. We just need to stop for a minute. That says, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let me just get that whole thing in there. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let me just stop and say, let's define some terms, because Jesus' name means something. Do y'all know what His name means? If I'm a good pastor, you would. Oh, my whole worth as a pastor is dependent on someone right here knowing what it means. Do you know what it means? Who knows? Oh, I've totally failed. Oh, man, it's only 11 years. I got 11 more. I can be here, teach you what it means. Starting off new, starting off fresh. It means the Lord saves. Yahweh saves. It takes the personal name of God that's in the Old Testament and takes the idea of salvation and says, that one, the God, the only God, the one who is, He saves. That's what the name Jesus means. You go back into Matthew chapter 1, it says, you will call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. That's what His name means. Oh my goodness, He is the Savior. His name means the Savior. Now, you know what His last name, right? His last name is Christ. Y'all know that, right? Please tell me no. Come on, I'm dying here. Somebody, come on. We got to get that. No, Christ is not his. He did not come from Mary and Joseph Christ, you know, and all these things. Christ is a title. Jesus, you get this in the Gospel of John, Jesus the Christ. When you believe that Jesus is the Christ, Christ is a title. It means anointed one, chosen one, the Messiah, the long-awaited one. Why do we sing about him? Why do we lift Jesus up? Because he is the one and only who could fulfill the prophecy, who could die on the cross and take our... He's the only sinless one. When you think of the uniqueness of Jesus, let that title, the Christ, come to your mind. That's who he is. He's like none other. He's the only one. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way, from the earth to the cross, our debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. And Lord, we lift your name on high. I don't know how all these songs got into my sermon. They just slipped in there. But the bottom line is, there's no one like him. That's what Christ means. None. You say, well, isn't Jesus kind of like some of the figures or some of the representations they have in Hinduism? No. Isn't Jesus a teacher? He's kind of like Buddha. Isn't he like that? No. Isn't Jesus a prophet? He's kind of like Muhammad. No. Isn't Jesus like so-and-so? No, no, no. He is the Christ. The one. The only. There's none other. No substitutes, no other ones. That's who I'm talking about. He's not going to be reelected. He's not going to run next year. He's not term limited. He doesn't have any health problems. He's not going to pass out if it gets stressful. He's good. Okay? He is the one. Matter of fact, it would just blow your mind how old he is. Can't even tell you. Don't know rightly. I know that in the beginning was the Word. And I know the Word was with God. And I know the Word was God. So I don't know what you'd want to date that. But I know that he died. But I know 3 days later he rose. And that he's alive evermore. And then it says, this Jesus, who means the Lord saves, Christ, the title that makes us know he is the only one. No one else can make us right with God but him. And then it adds, the Son of God. He is the Son of God. What does that mean? A couple other places in the scripture, I just quote them. It says, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the very brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's who he is. If you were to ask Jesus, like one of his disciples did, one of his disciples said, just show us the Father, show us God, and it would be enough for us. And he says, have you been with me so long and have not known that that the Father is in me and I in him, me and the Father are one. That's who he is. That's what it means by the Son of God. It means that he is God. He dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. That's who he is. That's who I represent. And I'm going to tell you, I'm never going to be ashamed of it. Do y'all see all the political people like Dr. Carson, you know, Dr. Ben Carson, who I just really liked him. He's from Detroit, and I just, everybody from Detroit, I like him. I'd vote for him if I can. And because they did, you know, that's where I'm from. It's just my people. And, you know, but they always, every time Donald Trump says something dumb, they're like saying, hey, what do you say about that? And he's like trying to, well, you know, and he's trying to defend them in this way and that way. And then somebody else, you know, you got the whole FBI defending the other candidate, you know, saying, well, you know, I don't know. But anyway, you know, I'm so glad when it comes to Jesus, I am never at a point where I'm like, oh, well, you know, what he meant to say was you know, that he really loved you, and he didn't mean, oh, you know, that's just, you know, rabbis being rabbis, you know what I'm saying? They just get kind of crazy every once in a while. I'm so glad I'll never have to apologize for Jesus Christ. I'm never going to be ashamed of who he is. They'll say, do you believe he's the Son of God? I do. Do you believe he died on the cross for you so your sins are taken care of? I do. Do you really believe that he rose again? Oh, yes, I do. And you believe he's coming back to rule and reign? Oh, man, let's just look to the sky because he's soon on his way. I do. I gain everything by believing. I lose everything by rejecting. And that's true of all of us. I gain everything. I gain everything by putting my faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know what I get when I don't? Nothing. You can have one of the two candidates. God, that should make your skin crawl. You mean if I don't have Jesus, what I have is this system? What I have to have? If I don't have faith in Christ, I have to have faith in society? Really, those are my options? What about faith in me? Let me tell you something about me. How short I fall from the title, the Christ, or the one who can save. I can't save myself. I can't help myself. I'm my own worst enemy. You want to know who gets me in more trouble than anybody else? Well, my wife. But no, I'm just... No, me. Thank you, Hannah. How did you know? I get me in trouble. I bust me. I get myself... I was going to say I'm a big, hairy idiot, but I'm not going to say that from up here. You caught that. All right. Man, I need Jesus, and we need him. And I'm never going to be ashamed of him. His press secretary, you always got to know, who are these people out here making statements? And this passage is John the Baptist. He's prophesied way back in the book of Isaiah. I'm going to send one, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, prepare you the way of the Lord. He's a proclaimer. He's the messenger of God. I send my messenger before your face. I'm going to tell you something. I'm so glad as John A. Baptist, not John D. Baptist, but John A. Baptist, that I get to be a proclaimer of Jesus Christ. That I get to go out there and say, y'all make ready because he's coming. Y'all make ready because he's good, because he'll accept you. And I'm going to tell you, there's not... John the Baptist, he played his role back there in the gospel time, but there's still a role for a proclaimer, for a messenger, for someone who is preparing people to accept Christ before he comes. And those group of people is called the church. That will never be relegated over to a government program. They'll never be relegated over to somebody else. That is the church's truly one and only job. We can get involved in all kind of stuff. We can get involved in all kind of programs. One of the beauties of Christ Community Church is how simply we are organized around the proclamation of the gospel message. And some people say, well, you're not structured and you're not mature. But let me tell you, we're not burying our main mission under a whole lot of other church religious junk either. And I praise God for it. Makes me happy. Because we can just proclaim them. And if we step on toes, they get stepped on. It's all right. Whatever we got to do, it's all right. Because we belong to him. And we, by his sacrifice, are his. Right? And he belongs to us. He made himself available. We are the press secretary. If we don't get out there and share the message, to share his platform, to share his name, no one else will. It's on us. Did you hear that? I want to freeze because I believe God wants us to become more and more involved in missions, both here and abroad. And I need to make sure we're hearing that. It's on us. I know we might look around, we don't have all the money, we don't have all this stuff, but that don't matter. We have the gospel, we have the Spirit of God, and it's on us. Do y'all hear that? It's on us. Missions, evangelism, getting the word out, press secretary for Jesus Christ, it's on us, church. It's not on them. It's not on the, you know, we don't need to say in Grenada, well, there's a billion other churches in Grenada. Somebody will share the gospel with them. No, it's on us. We can cooperate, and I love a lot of those other churches. I know them, I know their pastors, and I know they know it's on them too, but it's on us. We can't duck that duty. It's on us to go out there and represent. It's on us. And I'm going to tell you, you'll see amazing things. You step out on boldness and obedience to the Great Commission, the call of God out to share the gospel, and you'll watch amazing things happen. It's good. It's good to see somebody give their life to the Lord who's excited about being saved because they didn't know that they could get accepted by Christ because they thought they'd blown it so bad. They thought they were so horrible that they didn't have a chance with God. They didn't have a chance at heaven. And when you tell them the good news, you represent Christ before them and they say, you mean I can be forgiven? I can be saved? I can be a Jesus person? You say, yes, you can because of what Jesus Christ has done. And you see them go, yeah, yeah, I want that. And they pray a sweet prayer. And God kind of does whatever he does. I like to say zap them. Like I got zapped when I prayed. Oh, I knew it. Something snapped inside me and said, that is right. The gospel is right. And when I believed, I knew I believed the right thing, and I believed in God. And it was a whole new life. It's called being born again. That's what the Bible calls it. Called being born again. If you, through doing your job as representative of Jesus Christ and representing the gospel in this world, get to witness somebody get born again, it'll change your life. It'll flip your wig. It'll give you a whole new priority system. You'll start thinking, why was I so busy and worried and concerned doing all this other stuff when I could have been sharing the gospel with other people? It's pretty cool. Policy. We always want more policy. Let me tell you about this, the policy of Jesus Christ, the policy that comes from this platform. It comes with a new life, which is made right with God and freed from sin. Now look, one day we're going to be freed from the very presence of sin. Heaven has not even a whiff, not even a little stink of sin in it. The bad smell of sin does not make it past the gate. It just don't get in there. But in this world, we're going to live with the stink of sin. We're even going to struggle with the power of sin. I hate that, but I mean, who would, y'all know me. How could I lie to you and say that I no longer struggle with the power of sin now that I've become born again? Man, I've failed. Man, I've fallen. But I'm going to tell you something. I've watched God grow me. I'm not under the same kind of control that I once was. I look at it and I say, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, I've seen life-threatening habits fall out of my life, social, relational, destroying, destructive, soul-destructive habits fall out of my life. Now, I'm still going, and every once in a while, I'm a big dummy. I told you, a big hairy idiot. I'm not going to say that up here, but that's what I think of myself sometimes. And I still fall for the bait that Satan lays out there, and I get reeled in every once in a while. But I'm going to tell you who I go to, the same one who freed me from it in the first place. Because just as I received Jesus Christ by faith, I walk in Him by faith. And when I get myself involved with sin, I know who will clean my feet. I know who forgives me. I know who restores me. I know whom I have trusted. And I know that He lives and that He still heals and cleans. And I know if I confess my sin, and if you confess your sin, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's a process that continues in my life. But I can tell you one place where sin has been completely wiped out, and that is the penalty of sin has been completely taken out of my life because of the policy of Jesus Christ. He's given me a new life with God. He's freed me from the penalty of sin completely, one day from the power of sin and one day from the presence of sin. That's how good He is. No one else can do that. No one else can do that. He does that through just personally. I saw a commercial with one of the candidates. They say, we're going to be there for you. We're going to be in your schools, and we're going to be in your hospitals, and we're going to be in your community, and we're going to be helping you out. And I kind of was like, you can stay home. It'll be all right. Because I don't know personally what you're going to do for anybody, myself or anybody I know. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus offers His presence. And to that I say, oh Lord, we're lost without You. We're lost without You. When it says, when John the Baptist, our predecessor and press secretary, said, the one who comes after me, though I baptize with water, he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. The word baptism means to immerse. Next Sunday we are going to immerse people in this big old trunk right here. We're going to dunk them all the way under. Immerse them. We're going to bring them up. So you don't got to worry. We're going to bring them back. But He says, I'm going to baptize in the Holy Spirit, which means what? To be immersed, to be saturated, to be filled. This is the relationship with God. This is the spiritual tie. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit was promised. God said way back in one of the old prophets, I will pour out my Spirit in the last days on men servant, women, on all people. I'm going to pour out my Spirit. The Holy Spirit, His presence with us. Jesus said this, when I leave, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you orphans as if you had nobody. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, the Spirit of truth, He will lead you into all truth. And then it's also power. Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. You wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from God. You are endued with the Holy Spirit that you might be my witnesses. Because the job we've been called to requires a spiritual power from God. But y'all, I am not ashamed of the gospel and the person and the plans and the policies and the platform of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. And I don't think any of the parties represented on the other side can really say that in their heart. Christian people, we have a kingdom. We are citizens of another place. Don't you allow a loyalty the way things have been or the way things you think they ought to be ever cloud your first and number one loyalty to the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. Prioritize your life following Jesus Christ. Prioritize your giving around Jesus Christ. Your ministry, your prayers around His kingdom first. Let all that other stuff, you know, it has a place on the scale. But first and foremost is His kingdom, His righteousness, His rule, His reign. Amen? Let's pray together. Father God, thank You for how You love us. And Lord, I pray right now, if there's anybody here who had never, they've never made that connection. They've heard Your gospel. They live here in, you know, they live here in Mississippi. They live in Grenada. They've heard it. But they've never joined. They've never fallen in love. They've never surrendered. Jesus is only an idea. You're only an idea to them right now, Lord. If there's any here like that, would You help them to commit, surrender, fall in love with You? There's none like You. I'm so glad to be Yours. There's no one like You. And if they've never done that, would You talk with them even right now? And I ask, out of respect, if you keep your eyes closed and your head bowed, and if you're here this morning, you would say, look, I need to have that connection with Jesus, and I don't. And would You pray for me? This is just, I'm not going to call you out. I'm going to pray for you because God knows what He does. So if that's you, just raise your hand up that I might pray for you. If you're here today and you would say, look, I know Him, but I am so caught up in this world, the politics of this world, which are all going to fade. There ain't kingdoms, kings and kingdoms are going to pass away. Only the name of Jesus is going to stand. Only the Word of God is going to stand. All flesh is like grass. It's all going to fade away, but the Word of God, that lasts forever. If you ain't been living for Him, you're caught up in this world in any way. Maybe it's not politics. Maybe it's immorality. Maybe it's your own thing. And you say, you know, it's time for me to get back on board with the One who really loves me and leave all these lesser things behind. If that's you, just raise your hand up that I might pray for you. Amen. 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 Father, we're Your people. We're the church. We love You because You loved us. Help us to take on the mission that You've given us. You've given it to us graciously because people without a mission are wanderers. They're pointless. They have potential but no direction. So Father, thank You for saving me from being a pointless, directionless wanderer and giving me a purpose, showing me Yourself, showing me Your grace that I might know how good You are. And I pray You do that for all of us and help us to share unashamedly the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation for all those, for everyone who believe, for the Jew first and also the Greek. It's all by faith. And Lord, we love You and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to respond in any way, you come up. This is your time to respond right now. If you need me to pray for you, I'll be here.
And real quick before I start playing, please
this song, if you've never heard it before, it has some lyrics that have always touched my heart or since I've heard it. And a lot of us Christians, I think, find ourselves in this place a lot of times and just, you know, listen to the lyrics. And sometimes you feel like you might be in this place, it might be time to come back and get back right with God.
Between who I am and who I used to be.
Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end, and we are caught in the middle. With eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is, but will we trade our dreams for His, or are we caught in the middle? Are we caught in the middle? Somewhere between my heart and my hands, somewhere between my faith and my plans, somewhere between the safety of the boat and the crashing waves, somewhere between a whisper and a roar, somewhere between somewhere between contented peace and always want more. Somewhere in the middle you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end, and we are caught in the middle. With eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is, but will we trade our dreams for His, or are we caught in the middle? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end, and we are caught in the middle. With eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is, will we trade our dreams for His, or are we caught in the middle? Lord, I feel You in this place, and I know You're by my side, loving me even on these nights when I'm caught in the middle. heard it said that music heals the soul. But I've sung a thousand songs that never made me whole until I joined the holy chorus that started long ago. And though he carried me a while, there's still so many miles to go. To help this broken man when the road is long, write in me a melody so I can sing redemption songs. Cause when push comes to shove, I'll never be enough to make it on my own. To help this broken man's soul, help this broken man's soul. Now I've sung these words so many times before, but I've never felt anything at all, and I wanted something more. Than it came like rushing water through these dry and dusty bones. Your life-giving word picked me up and took me home. So help this broken man when the road is long, write in me a melody so I can sing redemption songs. Because when push comes to shove, it'll never be enough to make it on my own. To help this broken man's soul, help this broken man's soul.
I've never heard that. Did you write that one? I ain't never heard it. Well, I just ain't never heard it before, but that was good. That was real good. All right. So good to be with y'all. Go live under the rule of Jesus Christ. And be proud of the gospel and the Savior that we represent as His church, His bride, His people. Or I will do that again. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunities we have. As we go, just bless us. Open our eyes, open our hearts, minds to what you're doing, what you're calling us to. And Lord, we do love you. We give you all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you all for letting me be your pastor. And I love you. Ready? Break.